two main themes I want to look at this morning, just very briefly. Let's begin to read chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." You know, this is the first time we find worship mentioned in the Bible. But as we go on a little bit further, we find more about how they went to the priests. Where would the king be born? Where would the king of the Jews be born? And so Herod invited the scribes and the Pharisees to come into his palace, and they posed the question, where would the king of the Jews, where would the Christ, where would the Messiah be born? And the Pharisees knew all about it. They knew where he'd be born. They knew details about him, and they said, without pausing very long, they said in verse 6, they said, "It is written by the prophet," Micah chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 2, "For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, thou art the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them when, at what time the star appeared. And they said, "Go, diligently search for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me again that I may worship him also." And then down in verse 11, a beautiful verse. We're going to look at that a little bit more this morning. "And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down." They fell down. What would you do? What would you do if you're in the presence of the Lord Jesus? They fell down, and they worshipped him. "And they opened their treasures, and they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You know, I think there's two main great themes about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and probably a number more, but two main themes. One of them is the worship of the Lord Jesus. We see that here three times. First time in the New Testament the word worship is mentioned is here in verse 2. "Where is he that is King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship." Amazing thing, isn't it? To me, it's an amazing thing that we have wise men with not much biblical instructions about the scriptures. They had some, and I believe they knew the Lord Jesus. They would not come to worship him. They didn't know him as Savior. They would not bow if they didn't know him as Savior. They would not use the word King of the Jews if they didn't know something about the fact that he was their Savior. And they come to worship him. First time this word is used in the New Testament. And then we find the first time men worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to pause. We'll come back to that. But I want to look at the other theme, which is probably the main theme. And that we have in chapter 1 and verse 21. You know, the main theme, I think. We see it all through the birth accounts of the Lord Jesus. And how many times do we have in the New Testament phrases like about when the Lord Jesus would come? "Where you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." That's all about the birth of the Lord Jesus. "Though he was rich in heaven with all the glories of heaven, angels worship him, ceasing not to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And he left all of that. "Though he was rich, yet he became poor." He came down in the scene of a manger. He came down in a humble surroundings. He came down and he says he did this. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes." Do you know that he came to earth? He came into the manger. He came and was born the way he was born. He came to go to the cross. He did it for your sakes. I think if you were the last person on earth or the only person on earth, he would have done it for you. The Bible says we have While we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned each one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We read in chapter 1, verse 21. He shall bring forth his son, and he shall call his name Jesus. And the name Jesus is the Greek translation of the name Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. His name shall be called Jehovah saves, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. He came to save, he came to pay a price to save people from their sins. I wasn't saved around, I didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ around Christmas time. I don't know if anybody here trusted Christ as their Savior around Christmas time. Doesn't matter when you trusted the Lord Jesus. But when the Lord Jesus came into this world, the purpose that he came into this world for was to go and pay a payment price. To go to the cross and pay a payment price for our sins, your sins, and my sins. I love what, in chapter 2 of Luke, another account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, I love what it says. When the angels come, it said, I bring you glad tidings, great glad tidings of good news that shall be to all people. I am so glad the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just come from the Jewish shepherds or the Jewish wise men. The message of the angels was, I bring you glad tidings of great news, good news, that shall be to all people. I come from a Scottish background. My wife comes from a German background. Maybe even a touch of Pennsylvania Dutch background. I don't know what background you come from, what countries your parents came from, and your great-grandparents. But he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The shepherds, the wise men, from whatever nationality and background and time that any of us were ever born, anyone was ever born, the Lord Jesus came for them. He said, great news of great joy for all people. Then he says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. A Savior is born. Not just a king, not just a great man, not just a great teacher, not just a man for the ages and the colleges and the leading places of learning to talk about and study and analyze his writings, but he is a Savior. Someone who went to the cross would pay the penalty for my sins. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope everyone in that little room in the back with those 8 or 10 beautiful faces. You know, I was thinking when Ramaya said, and they saw the star and they were terrified. I thought they were all terrified too. Getting in front of all of us saying all those things. But I hope each one in that back room knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. No better decision. No, you would never have a single regret ever in your life for trusting Christ as your Savior. And as we acknowledge what we are, our great need before God. You may have lived the cleanest life. You know, someone once said, you know, somebody might walk on the cleaner side of the street. Someone might walk on the less clean side of the street, but that side of the street, outside of Christ, is going to a lost eternity. I was raised in a Christian home. I didn't do a lot of things, probably some others did. But I was still on that same street, going to a lost eternity. And I trust that each one of us here has acknowledged our sin before God, has trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Say, I believe, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross of Calvary. And I acknowledge that, and I believe on you. And I want you to transform my life. I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. The Bible says, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, this is life eternal. We have life eternal in the future, but we can have life eternal. You have a quality of eternal life by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior now. And I trust that you might, if you haven't ever trusted Christ as your Savior, you would trust him today, you would go home today, who would say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the great messages. Unto you in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. This is a message. This is a Savior for all peoples. This is a Savior for you, a Savior for me. Don't let this opportunity, don't let trusting Christ in your life pass you by. Through whatever events of life and the busyness of life, don't let these things pass you by. But we have another message in chapter 2 of Matthew. That's a message of worship. These wise men come to worship. Those shepherds, when they came after that message from the angel, they came to the place where Jesus lay. Now, it's interesting in Luke, it doesn't say right there what they did. We don't know a thing they did. We know a lot what the wise men did. We know they came and made haste, but when they left, it said they praised and glorified God for what they had seen and heard. I want to think with my sanctified imagination, when they got to the place where the Lord Jesus was, those shepherds, if they were praising and glorifying God when they left, I like to think they were praising and glorifying God when they were there and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is Jesus Christ, the Savior, was Jesus Christ the Lord. And we see the same thing here. We see two mentions of worship about the wise men. They've come 600-700 miles from Persia to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's striking to me? The high priests weren't there worshiping the Lord Jesus. We don't see a scribe there worshiping the Lord Jesus. We don't see a Sadducee there worshiping the Lord Jesus. We don't see those who knew the scriptures and quoted the scriptures about where he would be born. We didn't see them there where the Lord Jesus was. We didn't see the people of Bethlehem there. We didn't see the people of Jerusalem there. We didn't see the innkeeper there. We didn't see anyone else there. There was only a very few worshipers to come to worship the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus tells us, the Father seeks worshipers to worship him in spirit and truth. And what a great honor, great privilege it is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise men came 700 miles. I wonder it might have been because they couldn't find anybody closer to worship him. But whatever the reason, he brings these wise men to come. And the wise men come. I want to look a little bit at how they come and worship the Lord Jesus. Look with me at verse 11. They travel for 700 miles. We don't know how long. And I'd like to say there were many wise men. There weren't just three wise men. Many times we see a picture, and we see a picture of three wise men on three camels, all by themselves, traveling gracefully over a desert, a silhouette of these three camels and three wise men. I'd like to think there were many wise men. Many, many. I don't know how many. But caravans of wise men and servants and camels and donkeys and beast of burden bringing foodstuffs and clothing and whatever it would take to travel 700 miles in the ancient time. Many, many came. It says when Herod saw them coming, he was troubled. He was agitated. He was very concerned for his kingdom. Herod the king, verse 3, heard these things. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem was troubled too. They saw these men who were kingmakers from the east, who were astrologers and they were scientists and they were men of learning. They would study the stars and they would determine who should be the future king and leaders in nations around them. But they come. And they come to worship the Lord Jesus. And we come to verse 11. They come when they were come into the house where Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus was. Joseph's not mentioned, but I like to think he was there. And they fall down. They fall down. You know, there's something very good about reverence. A reverent worship of the Lord Jesus. When we gather at the Lord's Supper, it's something that I think about. The Lord Jesus is in our presence. Where two or three are gathered together, there's the Lord Jesus in our midst. A certain reverence. They had a holy reverence. That house was filled with a holy reverence that Mary had. And maybe who else was there? The wise men there, they fell on their faces or on their knees before the Lord Jesus and they worshiped him. I believe they said something. I don't think it was just a bowing. I don't believe it was just on their knees. I don't believe it was just bringing out gifts. But there they worshiped. They brought praise and glory and lifted their voices. And what they said, we don't know. And what words they used, we don't know. If they used scripture or whatever they said to the Lord Jesus, we don't know. But they worshiped him in reverence and adoration. They lifted their voices, glorified, praised the Lord Jesus Christ. But look with me for something, at something else. It says, then they brought out gifts. I like what it says in the last part of verse 11. When they opened their treasures, you know, I wondered about that. What is this? When they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts. There are many wise men. And I spent some time looking at that word treasures. What does that mean? Was it another type of gift? And as I spent time looking at this, you know what that word is? Maybe newer translations would have it. It means the word treasure chest. These wise men, maybe each one of them, maybe they had more than one. They had treasure chests they brought as they came to worship the Lord Jesus. Treasure chests. I like to think they weren't very small. You know, you can have a small treasure chest. But I like to think if they're going to go that far, they're going to have a large treasure chest. Numerous kings, numerous ones coming with these treasure chests. And when we read these words, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, we think that's the only gifts they gave to the Lord Jesus. And I want to say that I don't think is true. Those may be the chiefest, or those might be characteristic or symbolic. But I like to think those treasure chests were full. Each king may have had one, maybe they had more than one. But they had treasure chests filled with gifts. And they brought those gifts out. What a beautiful thing. They brought out their gifts and they began to give the gifts they brought. Lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus. What did Mary think? What did Joseph think? What did others think later on? My wife asked me this question. You know, wives are wonderful to talk about spiritual things. She said, what did they do with the gifts after they got them? Did they take them to Egypt with them? What happened to them? Good question. We don't know. But they opened their treasure chests and brought out their gifts. You know what's interesting about that word gift? Keep your finger there and turn with me to chapter 5, verse 32. I want to suggest this morning that those wise men believed in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these gifts that they are bringing, the language they are using, whether the inspired author of Scripture used it in that special way or someone else did, that there's two words, two major words for gifts in the New Testament. One is a gift that you give only to God alone, a gift that you bring to the temple. A gift you bring for worship. In Luke chapter 21 in verse 1, it says of the woman who brought her two mites, remember? It says in the very first verse, it says, the Lord Jesus stood watching men coming, casting their gifts into the temple treasury. Same word as we have in chapter 2. Also in Matthew chapter 32, remember he tells the account of someone. If you bring your gift to worship in the temple, and you know that there's someone who has ought against you, have something against you, what do you do with that? You take that gift. You are to take that gift, and you are to leave it before the altar. Go back and reconcile with that person. And after you've done that, you go back, you get that gift, and you offer it to the Lord. That's the same word we have here in chapter 2. Offering a gift to the Lord Jesus. A temple gift. A gift of worship. These wise men come with gifts to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ, who they believed was deity, was God come in the flesh. That's why they bowed. That's why they worshipped. And they bring priestly gifts, temple gifts to the Lord Jesus. I wonder when we come, this time of year, when we come to worship, do we have a treasure chest? You know, we should have a treasure chest of thanks, of appreciation of what the Lord has done. Great things and lesser things. Our salvation, answered prayers, a home in heaven. The relationship we have with the Lord Jesus, our walk with Him, His protection, His goodness, His faithfulness to us. These are all great treasures we have in our treasure chest, and we should bring them out. Take time. I would encourage you to take time this year, this Christmas. Maybe you have a treasure chest of things that the Lord has done in our lives. We bring them out. We offer them back to the Lord Jesus. We take time to get quiet before the Lord. You know, Brother Edgar said something like that. It's good to get quiet and think about the spiritual things the Lord has done in our lives. You know, there was a young boy who worked in a sawmill years ago. And his father worked there and his family worked there. And one of the men there lost a treasured stopwatch. Old days, remember the little stopwatch you should wind up and it would tick. We don't know what that is anymore. Tick. And there was sawdust everywhere. And he dropped this in the piles of sawdust in this sawmill. And so they said to stop. Everybody stopped their work and they would go, let's find the stopwatch. And they looked through piles of sawdust. And they couldn't find it. They looked and looked and they couldn't find the stopwatch. And so they said, let's have a break. And they had a break and they had some coffee. But the little boy, the son of one of the workers, he said, I'm going to find the stopwatch. You know, that's how little boys are sometimes. No one else can do it, so I'm going to find the stopwatch. You know what he did? They all left and went to a break room. He got on his hands and his knees. He put his head inside the sawdust, all over, listening for the ticking. He got quiet. Very quiet. Listen for the ticking. And he found the stopwatch and he picked it up and he brought it into the break room. And he said, I found the watch. Now, what is that story all about? Why do I tell that story? You know, I think at Christmas time and I think at many times of the year, we're busy. Very, very busy. And I know we have responsibilities in travel and family and there's shopping and there's dinners and there's all of that. But it's good to take some time and get quiet before the Lord. You know, take our heads and put it in the sawdust, as it were, and listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. And open our hearts and tell Him how much we love Him. And tell Him how much we appreciate all that He's done. And tell Him how you feel about His salvation, His finished salvation, His free salvation. And tell Him how you want to listen to His voice. And be hearers and doers of the Word of God. I'd encourage you, take some quiet time, if we can. Find a little quiet time in this season and spend it with the Lord Jesus. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that these wise men brought gifts. And Father, we have the privilege of bringing gifts too. May we be worshipers. May this following year be a time where we grow in being the worshipers that You want us to be. Help us to grow and to be those kind of people, learning more about what it means for the Lord to shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, to give Himself, to bear our sins, and to bear the suffering, and bear the cross, and bear the judgment for our sins. May we walk closer to the Lord Jesus this year. And we pray to You, Father, for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, that He is their Savior. He's gone to the cross to bear their sins, and we would pray that they would receive that tremendous gift, that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this year, or this week, or this day. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.